Well, we normally speak to this young lady on a Wednesday, but tonight being a Monday, I thought, well, let's switch things up a little bit. Alex Selioff from The Big Smoke, good to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Tell me, is politics making us physically sick?
So often we've heard about how, especially with the current political climate, in both America and Australia, can I say, are damaging friendships, you know, causing arguments over dinner with families, and it's really more than ever, I think, in history, or at least the past 15 years, has caused a really big divide within social circles and families. Mm. But nearly 40% of Americans who were surveyed for a new study said that politics is stressing them out so much so that one in five reported lost sleep, and there are a number of them that had adverse effects to their physical health, and 29.3% said they'd lost their temper as a result of politics. And while you might say, well, that's just, you know, anger, people who have prolonged anger issues or consistently stressed out do tend to see a shift in their physical health. So we're seeing this more and more, and unfortunately, you know, there's no Trump vaccine that's going to fix this anytime soon. So we need to, as a society, get a bit smarter about how we're, I guess, engaging in political debate.
Yeah, and I know we all try to blame Donald Trump for this phenomenon, but I think it's been going longer than he's been sort of at the forefront of the political sphere. We've lost the ability to disagree with each other.
I don't think it's even, you know, people often talk about Trump as the pinnacle, you know, focus point for angry family arguments. But I think that it's not so much a Trump issue. I think it's more of an issue around, as you say, we're all in our own echo chambers. We're used to hearing people, you know, agree with us on social media. Mm. We'll only read articles that align to our political bias. And so therefore, there's almost like an aggression that happens when you're exposed to something that you don't like. So the problem around that is, of course, people are going to start to take this on, and it impacts their mental health and eventually their physical health. And I think it's just about, you know, realize that politics can have a very negative effect on not only your life but your health. But it's not going away. Politics isn't going away. You know, divisive debate's not going to go away anytime soon. So it's really about, I guess, having smarter ways to look after ourselves, to make sure that we can engage in the debate, but not allow it to, I guess, impact us so negatively.
Yeah, and I don't know how we pull back from this. I mean, the most recent example, of course, is the speech by young Greta Thunberg at the UN, where there's a child that has genuinely developed some sort of anxiety disorder based on something that is not going to happen immediately. You know, I saw somebody compare it with back in the 80s, we were concerned about nuclear war, but my argument was that if somebody pushed a button and fired a nuclear bomb, you could actually literally die tomorrow. Nobody's going to die tomorrow from climate change. So how do we, you know, I mean, these are the way we're broaching subjects these days. And even the response to her speech has been, you either 100% support her or you 100% disagree with it, and you can't meet in the middle somewhere.
Well, this is the thing, and you know, mentioning Greta is interesting because eco-anxiety has become a real issue, with a lot of schools actually trying to find ways to, I guess, help address that for their students. And you're right, people don't seem to be able to have a conversation without it being a black and white result, which I think is the problem. So I think one of the biggest things I would suggest in terms of approaching this is by reading more and reading things you don't necessarily agree with. I think exposing ourselves to different viewpoints, opinions, ideas, you know, read historical books and current literature. It's really about, I guess, becoming a better read society, I have to say, so that there isn't so much, I guess, angst internally over, you know, somebody else having a different opinion.
I think you're spot on. And kind of, I guess, following on from that is research that suggests millennials are so obsessed with their phones that they've only got 60 minutes per day to themselves.
I'm just surprised it's that much.
Yeah, you know, I guess you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in 2017, there was a study that said that Australian students were checking their phones every 30 seconds. But this was a survey amongst 18 to 34-year-olds. And what they found was that the consistency in those numbers was that each of them would get less than 60 minutes to themselves each day. So, you know, we're talking about 7 hours a week having downtime. And 9 out of 10 of those confessed to opening their phones, even if they had just opened it a few seconds previously, and were finding it a stressful thing to put down. So they would struggle with longer than 10 minutes. without checking their phone. So, I mean, I miss the days in the 90s where you'd have to, you know, wait till you knew your friend would be home from school, and then you could ring the house phone and, you know. But it's a problem. But I don't think the answer is a digital detox. You know, a lot of people say, well, have a digital detox for the weekend and, you know, take some time out, focus on self-care. All those things are true. You should focus on self-care. But I just don't think an all-or-nothing approach works when it's not like you're ever going to be able to detox from technology entirely.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to avoid it if you want to be a part of our society. So I don't think a detox is the answer. I think the answer is discipline on a daily basis.
Yeah, but I guess the question then begs, how do you go about disciplining a generation that thinks it's a good idea to buy headphones that don't actually do anything?
So this is the entrepreneur in me is going, why didn't I think of that? So Apple's wireless earbuds have been very popular, and a fashion retailer has actually created dummy AirPods that don't work. They don't play music. They can't, sync to your phone. They cost $9.50 as opposed to the $159 cost of the actual Apple AirPods. And people are buying it to put into their ears and to look like they're walking around with AirPods. I don't even know what to say about this fashion fad, but it's a thing. And a part of me is appalled. A part of me is jealous. I didn't think of it because what an amazing low capital entry for that product.
I get there are some people that wear headphones so that people leave them alone, but
this isn't that.
You know, a real set would be better because you could actually listen to music on them.
So it's a non-functional earpod that's designed in different, you know, decorated with different patterns, and people love it. And, you know, it is what it is.
The world is becoming a stranger place by the day because even a German court has now deemed that a hangover is a legitimate illness and a legitimate excuse not to go to work the next day.
The boss in me is so annoyed that this became a thing. So a German court ruled that a hangover is a legitimate excuse not going to work. And essentially the whole point about it is that the common side effects of a hangover include tiredness, headaches, feeling sick, and therefore it's a temporary disruption to your normal state or your activity levels and your activity level of the body, and therefore it falls under the category of illness.
Yeah, well, I guess we're talking about a country that actually drinks their beer in 1 litre glasses, so it's bound to happen,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah, but we're in Australia,
yeah,
Stephen.
I know. Alex, good to talk to you. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you.
Alex Selyos from thebigsmoke.com back with us next week on Australia by Night.